Hey there, my name is Amanda and I'm a senior here at CU Boulder. Over the past semester, I have been taking the class Social Movements and have been thoroughly researching the anti-Vietnam War movement. So why are we here today? Well, today I'm going to be talking to you about the anti-Vietnam War movement and comparing the similarities and differences to the Black Lives Matter movement. You might be thinking, these are two completely different topics, decades, genres of protests, etc. And that's what I thought at first too. But after deep diving into some research, I actually found many similarities between the two social movements. Before we get into the comparison, I'm going to give a little background on the Vietnam War and why there was an anti-war movement at all and what this movement consisted of. Next, I'm going to explain the Black Lives Matter movement and then discuss an overlap between these two movements. So, just to start off, when the war in Vietnam began, many Americans believed that defending South Vietnam from communist aggression was in the national interest of the United States. Communism was threatening free governments across the globe. Any sign of non-intervention from the United States might encourage revolutions elsewhere, or so the Americans and the government thought. As the war dragged on, more and more Americans grew weary of mounting casualties and escalating costs. The small anti-war movement grew into an unstoppable force, pressuring American leaders to reconsider its commitment. The movement grew increasingly popular for students and young Americans. The draft was a major source of this resentment. The age of the average American soldier serving in Vietnam was 19 years old, which was 7 years younger than the average age of a soldier serving in World War II. Students observed that young Americans were legally old enough to fight and die, but were not permitted to vote or drink alcohol. Such criticism led to the 26th Amendment, which granted suffrage to 18-year-olds, which was obviously not the main goal of this movement whatsoever, but it was a sign that the government was listening, and these students were making a difference, which is definitely a step in the right direction. However, the late 1960s became increasingly radical, as activists felt their other demands were being ignored in terms of how much they wanted the United States to be involved in the Vietnam War and in Vietnam in general. Peaceful demonstrations turned violent. When the police arrived to arrest protesters, the crowds often retaliated. Students occupied buildings across college campuses, forcing many schools to cancel class. Additionally, there were many walkouts out of class that was still in session. Roads were blocked and ROTC buildings were burned. Doves clashed with police and the National Guard, and this was at its all-time high in August of 1968, when anti-war demonstrators flocked to the Democratic National Convention in Chicago to prevent the nomination of a pro-war candidate. Some other tactics used by the anti-war movement activists were public demonstrations of the burning of the draft cards, marches and protests. Many anti-war songs were created that became anthems for many Americans during this time, and even GI members of the army that were drafted and actually in Vietnam were unsupportive of the war. One major event of the anti-war movement was the Kent State shooting. This took place on May 15, 1970. Students at Kent State University were peacefully protesting the expansion of the Vietnam War into neutral Cambodia, because this symbolized the war was expanding rather than ending. The National Guardsmen fired at the crowd for 13 seconds, killing 4 students, wounding 8, and paralyzing 1. This event was devastating for the country. Parents across the nation grieved with empathy for these students, thinking how it could have been their own child that was tragically killed. A heartbreaking picture of student Mary Ann Vecchio kneeling over Jeffrey Miller's lifeless body was on the cover of Life magazine. Neil Young saw this image and was so emotionally moved that he wrote the song Ohio in just 15 minutes, with the famous lyrics being, "What if you knew her and found her dead on the ground? How can you run when you know? 4 dead in Ohio, 4 dead in Ohio." This song became extremely popular and spread awareness of the tragic shooting. Then students across the nation began to protest against the expansion into Cambodia in solidarity with the students that had tragically passed away. And Nixon heard their voices and he met up with some students and just talked to them about what they were going through. And I think this was part of the reason why he kind of stepped back from the war. Obviously not the entire reason why, but could have maybe played a factor in it. Because shortly after, in 1970, same year that of this shooting occurred, the anti-war movement slow down its momentum, and the Vietnam War reached a ceasefire in 1973. Here's a snippet of the song Ohio that I just mentioned. In-depth explanation of the anti-war movement, because before I researched this topic in depth for this class, I only really had vague memories of what I learned in middle school or high school classes, but I'm glad I refreshed myself on all of this knowledge because it's extremely important not only to that time period but also for movements to come, even the ones seen today. Now let's change gears and fast forward 40 years. The Black Lives Matter movement was formed in 2013 and is dedicated to fighting racism and anti-Black violence, especially in the form of police brutality. The Black Lives Matter movement has many goals. BLM activists seek to draw attention to the many ways in which Black people are treated unfairly in society and the ways in which institutions, laws, and policies help to perpetrate that unfairness. The movement has fought racism through such means as political action, letter writing campaigns, and nonviolent protests. BLM seeks to combat police brutality, the over-policing of minority neighborhoods, and the abuses committed by for-profit jails. Its efforts have included calls for better training for police and greater accountability for police misconduct. After doing some more research, I found an interview of Margaret Burnham, who is the director of the Civil Rights and Restorative Justice Project and University Distinguished Professor of Law at Northeastern University School of Law. The interviewer asked her, "Is the country as divided as it was during the 1960s, when it was torn by the battle over civil rights in the Vietnam War?" Her answer is as follows: "We are divided as we were then. I think there are large swaths of this country that have not accepted the reality that white supremacy should be seen as a thing of the past. It's about white men who are deeply, deeply worried about their loss of authority. That's what this is about. When I see that guy's knee on George Floyd's throat, this is what I see. A white man acting out of an old playbook and expressing frustration that indeed there has been change in this country." One major similarity between these two social movements is that the government uses the National Guard and the police to reprimand the protesters, even in the circumstances where the protesting is peaceful. The National Guard shot and killed 4 students at Kent State University in 1970, while they were peacefully protesting the unwanted expansion of the war into Cambodia. Similarly, but also not so similarly, the National Guard was called into Portland to arrest and attempt to control the protesters there that were protesting the unjust murdering of George Floyd. Another similarity is that the activists know what they want and they are not afraid to go to the government to do so. Both movements had nationwide protests with activists outside the White House and reaching out to politicians and anyone who would listen to them in order to push for the justice that they think and knew that they deserved. The Black Lives Matter movement has social media and the ability to trend hashtags, in this case, hashtag BLM, or hashtag Blackout Tuesday, or hashtag Say Her Name, or there's so many that have been created to spread awareness and more media coverage about the issues at hand. Obviously, hashtagging in social media is more of a more recent phenomenon, and has worked wonders in uniting people across the nation and spreading awareness and information in unthinkable ways. I've unfortunately seen countless videos and pictures of police violence and brutality, which has made me want to help in any way that I can with, and I've seen many links of GoFundMes to donate to or petitions to sign, and I have been utilizing those especially recently. But not only that, I also have become much more educated about the movement in general after seeing all these informative social media posts. As for the anti-war movement, these activists utilize media, not social media, to spread information and awareness about their causes. There were countless protest songs that became top radio hits and anthems that were sang by Americans throughout the nation. As I previously mentioned, one main example of this use of media was the quote-unquote viral image of the student kneeling over her fallen classmate, Obviously, this image is not viral, but it had a similar effect because this image became the cover of magazines and was circulated throughout the nation. If this image was never taken or been on the cover of that magazine, then Neil Young would have never been inspired to write the song Ohio. If he never wrote this song, then some fellow Americans might not have heard the song on the radio, and therefore the awareness of the shooting and the movement in general would not have been spread to them, and therefore not as widely as it did spread. Another fact that I did not mention before was that Young used President Nixon's name in the lyrics, which was a very powerful message. Because of this, the AM radio stations did not play the song because they were afraid that the administration would get mad at them or get them in trouble. Despite this, the song was still able to become a hit and was on the top charts and was still very popular throughout the country. And this is only one example of the ripple effect that media had on this movement, and there are hundreds more I could analyze. Overall, it is important to analyze how the media in the anti-war movement has parallels with the social media used in the Black Lives Matter movement. I think it's so interesting that over 50 years ago, there was the anti-war movement, the civil rights movement, the Vietnam War, and the Cold War all happening at relatively the same time period in the United States. And for nearly every movement to follow after the anti-war movement, especially the Black Lives Matter movement, there are similarities in the tactics of the activists that they use to get their point across and to make change. Although there's many differences, especially in the cause that is being fought for and the technology and resources that are being used, just because the times are changing, there are some similarities. And we're living through history right now in 2020 with regards to the Black Lives Matter movement, and someday someone will be studying our present as their past and their history. When future movements do occur, there will be similarities to the movements now, and that the activists will fight for what they believe in, and that is very empowering.